These are some of the statements that have been heard on airlines. Okay? Smoking in the lavatories is prohibited. Anyone caught smoking in the lavatories will be asked to leave the plane immediately. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. We are pleased to have some of the best flight attendants in the industry. Unfortunately, none of them are on this flight. Your seat cushions can be used for flotation in the event of an emergency water landing. Please take them with our compliments. Oh dear, dear, dear. Another one I came across is, and don't build a theology on this, okay, but the character of death appears on an aeroplane and there are three people. And death says to them, guys, your time's up. However, I'm going to give you a chance. You can all throw something out the plane. Now, bear in mind, the plane is flying at 35,000 feet, well above the ocean. And if I can find it, then that's it. You're dead. So the first person throws a needle out of the plane. Death leaves the plane, comes back. About 20 minutes later, needle. Oh, dear. Second one's thinking hard, so he takes a hair from his head, drops a hair out of the plane. 15, 20 minutes later, the character of death reappears with the hair. So the third character throws something out of the plane. Death leaves the plane. Doesn't reappear. About 2 hours later, he comes back and he says, okay. He says, I give in. You can live. What did you throw out of the plane? And he said, an effervescent tablet. Would have disappeared. Okay. Well, I've entitled this morning, I Believe I Can Fly. And back in, I think it was 97, it was a massive hit in the charts for a guy called R. Kelly. Now, you don't need to know about that. But the song was a huge hit. It was linked to a film called Space Jam. I believe Michael Jordan, basketball player, was in the film. But the words of the song basically talk about believing that you can fly, and it's talking about leaving a mundane life behind and going for something better. It's talking about leaving everyday things and saying, yeah, I want something better. And the song, I Believe I Can Fly, was, as I said, was a huge hit for weeks and weeks. A lot of people love the song. I've heard it at funerals as well. People have used it as a funeral song to go in or to come out, and all sorts of issues with this song. But one thing it does do, it stirs you up. I'm not talking about you may not like the particular style of the song, but it does stir you. And the words stir you. I believe I can fly, I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. That my wings just fly away. I mean, it's a tremendous song. And it's challenging. And this morning I want to look at This issue of the fact that we can leave our mundane lives and we can go for something better. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
We can leave this existence, if you like, and there is something better for each and every one of us. I listened last evening to John's message from last week, and he talked about ascending the hill of the Lord and talking about the fact that we need clean hands. And he talked about the way that we could do that is having the heart that David had in saying to God, "Create in me a clean heart." The thing is, this morning, we are all created in the image of God. We've all got the image of God stamped upon us. And the analogy I'm going to talk about this morning is the one of the eagles. There's a lot of things that have been said that are completely not true. So I'm hoping I won't say any of those this morning. I'm trying to sift out the fact from the fiction and to tell you what might possibly be true, but we're not sure. Eagles are not the easiest to film. Okay, now there have been some filmings, but they're not the easiest to film, and that's because they live at tremendous heights. Something in that we'll talk about later. But we all have the image of God stamped upon us, and thinking about the fact that we're baby eagles, and the fact that we need to learn to fly. When an eagle's born, it doesn't literally just begin flying. Okay, it has a period of up to about 70, 80 days where it's a chick in the nest, a little eaglet in the nest. I want to tell you this though, that some Christians live with a nest mentality. And some Christians never leave the nest. Now, the nest is important in the early stages of development. As we know, it is protection. The mother's there. Feeding takes place. But if those baby eagles stayed exactly where they were in the nest, they would not fulfill the purpose of their lives. And I want to refer back to that later on. Christians that have this nest mentality. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, says this. I'm reading from the NIV. "Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young and spreads its wings to catch them and carry them on its pinions." Now, obviously, Moses was the author of Book of Deuteronomy. I suspect that with all of Moses in his life, he spent time on mountains, didn't he? He had encounters on mountains. And I think he's speaking here from experience of actually seeing an eagle in action. Now, some of the most incredible programs have been made recently. David Attenborough's programs are phenomenal. I don't know if any of you have ever watched his programs on wildlife. They are incredible. Some of the things that get filmed, it's amazing. But I suspect here that Moses is probably speaking out of an experience where he's seen what the eagle does. The eagle hovering over the nest. The potential in the eaglet is there, friends. Everything is that's needed is in that little chick. The wings and the feathers are there. They're developing. As the chick's being fed, they're growing. I read the Bible through in a year, which means at the moment I'm in the book of Genesis. And it just reminded me that When you read the story of creation, when the Word and the Spirit come together, they create. Whoa, boy, do they create. Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters, and things are created, marvelously created. The potential within each and every one of us is fantastic. I want to tell you that this morning. The potential in you and I is fantastic. God can use us. We can move on to the next level. We don't have to stay with the nest mentality. We can move on. We can do greater things for God. So that's potential. Now I want to talk about perspective. Everyone probably is aware that the eagle has an amazing eyesight. They can actually spot prey from a couple of miles away. Now, that comes off the tongue, a couple of miles, but you think of that. 2 miles is an incredibly long distance. That really is a long way to actually spot something like a rabbit or a hare, which is obviously what they eat. And the eyesight of the eagle is incredible. The size of their eyes is disproportionate in their head. Their eyes are actually huge. But it enables them to have this incredible sight. And the view that they get is obviously from a high level. God's view. Now, we don't always have God's view on things, do we? I'm speaking to myself. Why is that? Because in everyday life, there are circumstances, there are situations, there are things that come in and cloud. We can't always see properly. I'm reminded of a story back in early 90s, when Bob and I were on a trip to America. And we'd been to stay with one of Bob's friends in the Detroit area. And we were at Chicago Airport, and we were waiting to fly across to Seattle on the West Coast for a faith conference. And I remember we got to Chicago Airport, and the weather was absolutely appalling. I cannot describe to you how bad the weather was. It was foggy, it had a real horrible rainy mist coming down, and there were delays on the flights. 2 hour delays, I think, 2-3 hour delays. Now, bear in mind, at this time, you didn't have things like tablets and iPhones, so Bob and I just had each other for company, which was interesting in the least. but it was just, we wanted to get somewhere. We weren't going there, basically, because of the delays at the airport. And actually, I can tell you this, when they announced our flight, which was, I think it was about two and a half hours later, and we got to the plane and we got on, I think Bob and I's prayer life was still pretty good at that point, because I looked out the window and I couldn't see a lot of difference. It still looked pretty foggy and rainy to me, and yet we were going to take off. So I'm thinking, well, you know, they obviously know what they're doing. And we did take off, and I did pray. And God answered prayer. But this is the amazing thing. I've never, ever forgotten this. And I just want you to get hold of this morning. For about 20 to 30 seconds, when we took off, It was thick cloud, you couldn't see anything. After about 30 seconds, we burst through the clouds, and there was an amazing sight. It was a complete panoramic view of the sky that was blue. There was no clouds anywhere to be seen, and the sun was shining. Now listen, I want to tell you this morning, it touched me then and it touches me now. We will always have circumstances in our lives. There will always be things that may cloud our vision. There will always be things around us that might oppress us and cause us to be in a state of frustration because we cannot go where we want to go. But I want to tell you this morning, the sun is still shining up there. You can't see it at that time. I couldn't see it, Bob couldn't see it, but when we got through the clouds, boy, you could see it. And listen, whatever circumstances, whatever is going on in your life, whatever is going on in my life, the sun is still shining. And God is on the throne. And he's still in control. And he still rules and he still reigns and he still understands. Now the circumstances, they come, they go, they change. Sometimes things are not so bad and we move on. But, and here the thing is, we need to get God's perspective. That means, friends, that we need to soar to heights that we've never ever been to before. I just really, in my heart when I was preparing this message, the story of being at the airport of Chicago really, really got hold of me. Because I believe that it's something we need to grasp this morning. Purpose. The purpose is for that eaglet to be a fully grown eagle, an adult eagle. The purpose for us in our lives is to fly, is to soar, is to be above the circumstances. I've written there in my notes, I think it's probably on there. To be, to see, to soar. But we can, if we want to, rest in our nests. I'm going to go back to the Word of God and I'm going to read to you a few verses from Hebrews. Chapter 5. In fact, though, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still in as an infant, is not equated with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So what the writer to the Hebrews is saying there is that there are people who are still craving milk when they should have moved on to meat. Now we all know in the natural, friends, that there'll come a point when a baby will want more than milk. We don't all go home for our Sunday lunches and knock back a glass of milk. Well, we might enjoy a glass of milk, But you know what I'm saying? For someone to grow and develop, they need nutrients. They need different things in their diet. And what the writer is saying there is, you've learned the basics, but now there's more. You need to get something more into you that's going to enable you to move on to the next level. But people, without realizing it, it's nice and comfy in the nest. Let's be honest. We come along each week. We're spoon-fed with stuff. We enjoy it. We worship God. Then we go away. But this is not what God is saying to us this morning. He's saying there's more for you. There's more for me. There's another stage out there. Now this is where you have to be careful. I've done my research. The eagle does not destroy the nest, which I've heard said before now. Apparently the eagle will rattle the nest. So it pulls at twigs in the nest. It does it deliberately to disturb the young in the nest. Now, how does God work in that respect? I'll tell you how it works. The Holy Spirit comes along when somebody like me or John or someone else is speaking, and you feel it in your heart. There's that little tug. That's God messing with your nest, if you like, saying, come on. You've had a good time in the nest, but now's the time to move on and to grow and to develop. Change is coming. Whoa. Do I love change? Nope. That might surprise some of you. I do not like change. I'm quite happy with having my set routines and doing my set stuff. Okay, listen, this is me being honest with you, okay? That's me. I like my routines. I like not having to face change. But if you're in that nest, if I'm in that nest, to get out of that mentality, there's change coming. God started pulling little things in the nest to disturb me. Just as an interesting point, the eagle nests for several years in the same place, in the same nest. That's how they know they don't destroy their nests. That's quite interesting, isn't it? So we're not talking about dismantling the church. There's no nests. There's nowhere you can go. There's nowhere you can be fed. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is in our thinking, we need to move on from that mentality that says that we can hide in the nest. Boy, I've done that over the years. I've hidden in the nest. I thought, God, I'll go along today. I might raise my hands. I might praise you. But I don't want you disturbing my nest today. Anyone been there? Boy, I've been there. I tell you, I'm just being honest. I don't want God rattling my cage, if you like. That's a phrase that's used. You know, I sense, and I know because I talked to John, I talked to others, I sense, friends, this is a year of change. I think things are going to change big time this year. And that starts with you and I. That starts with us saying, God, I'm not satisfied in this nest mentality. I need to get out there and start to fly. I need to experience new things. I need you to take me to the next level. Now, we're all at different levels. So where God takes you to the next level is totally different from where he's going to take me. But I want to tell you this, I know in my spirit that God is tugging at me and saying, Mark, the next level is coming. Now, I don't know how that's going to work out. And if I go away and think about it, I'm, God, what are you doing? But deep down in my heart, friends, I want to soar. I want to get to that level where I'm not so affected by the circumstances that are going on. And I can see the sun shining. God still there. God still in control. I need to learn it. I haven't reached it. I've not reached some nirvana where it doesn't affect me anymore. It does affect me. Circumstances affect every one of us. But if we've learned to soar, we can see things from God's perspective. The great thing is, we're not alone. I wouldn't want to do it on my own. In fact, I'd curl up in the nest. Say, go away. God is with us. Is he?
Yeah.
He's with us. I'm glad somebody thinks he's. God is with each one of us. Friends, we are not. There's an American phrase, I hate it, but it does illustrate what I want to say. We're not going to crash and burn, okay? We're not going to suddenly, we get to this place where God takes us on a level and then suddenly he leaves us. No, doesn't work like that. God's there for us. What the eagle does is it hovers over the nest and it flaps its wings. Now, some theories behind this are that by flapping its wings, it's showing the young the use of using its wings. I like that. I think that's good. God is showing us how we can move on. Here's an interesting thought, and they do know this for sure. Eagles do not flap like this. Right? What do eagles do? They soar. They use the thermals that exist and they soar. They glide. They're not the only bird that does it, by the way. There are others that do it. But I think it's fantastic. They're not flapping. But when, you know, again, talking to myself, we flap. You know, we flap, don't we? Let's be honest. We do flap. The Holy Spirit is there saying, listen, I'm here. Soar with me. Soar on the thermals. The problem is that each one of us are dealing with that four-letter word called fear. Going to ask you to forgive me if you've heard this story before. I'm not sure whether I've told it here. I know some of you have definitely heard it. But in 1986, I had been out in the country of Zimbabwe and with a team of evangelists, been working out there for a month, and God had blessed us. Marvelous things had taken place. And it was great. And we were flying home. So we're flying home full of God, okay? And we flew home on a DC-10. Now, I don't even know if they're still flying DC-10s. I think they might be slightly obsolete now. It just shows you how long ago that was. Trying not to think about that. I've just had another birthday, so... But we flew on a DC-10. Now, just if you don't know, a DC-10 used to be slightly smaller than a 747. So it wasn't quite a jumbo jet, but it was a big plane, okay? And because of the issue of money and things, we didn't fly with British Airways. We flew with the marvelous company of Air Zimbabwe. Because it was cheaper, basically. I will never use that mentality again in my life, I tell you. And you'll understand why when you hear the story. Okay, so all of us on the team are on the plane, and we're heading back from Harare to Heathrow. And it was a pretty non-eventful flight, to be honest with you. Nothing amazing took place, except just one thing to let you know. There was a lady sitting on my left, on this side of the plane, and she had a small child. And it was quite obvious to all of us on the team that she was quite a nervous flyer. She wasn't enjoying the experience. It was something that she had to engage in, and obviously to get to London. So she was sitting there, and she wasn't comfortable. Now, on the team, we had a guy called Phil Collins. Now, not the Phil Collins, all right, but his name was Phil Collins. Now, just to give you a little bit of background about Phil, Phil was a mod, and he was saved off the streets of Stourbridge in the West Midlands. He had a fantastic testimony, okay? Really had an amazing testimony how God had saved him. God had also blessed him with incredibly good looks. Okay, this guy, whenever we went anywhere, talk about bees round a honeypot, my word, he had women coming round him all the time. Not that I was jealous, so it didn't bother me. But he was a very, very good looking young man. He had an amazing testimony. And because of that, he drew a lot of attention to himself. But he was also big on his image, okay? And he used to wear Ray-Bans. He had the look, I tell you, he really did have the look. He had all the, as much as he could afford it, because obviously he was living in faith, in inverted commas. But he had decent, really nice looking clothes. And he was known in the team as Mr. Cool. He was cool under pressure, nothing got under his skin. Now, I need to tell you that because Phil was sitting next to this woman who had the child and they were nervous, okay? And we're approaching Heathrow and the captain comes on the tannoy. I don't think his English was terrific, which is why probably some of the choice of his vocabulary wasn't the best. Okay, so he then comes on the tannoy and says, ladies and gentlemen, we're now approaching London Heathrow Airport. We'll be landing in about 20 minutes. This will be our first attempt. So I'm not too happy about this word, attempt. But anyway, it gets better. Believe me, it gets better. So anyway, we're all strapped in, and Phil is doing his super spiritual bit with this woman, with her baby, saying, look, you've got nothing to worry about. God is in control. You know, and we're thinking, wow, he's really going for it here, he's witnessing to this woman. But anyway, he's chatting away to her. Anyway, the plane comes in, and it was the first thing we noticed was it was really, really foggy. Heathrow, okay, wasn't good visibility at all. So we come in, and then at the last minute, the plane pulls up like this, really steep ascent. We come back up, and I thought, no, I didn't hear that, but I thought I heard Phil Collins speaking in tongues, and the woman. You can imagine this woman who is unsettled, but, you know, who's not keen on flying, and she's sitting there, and, you know, if look, she was like this. And, of course, Phil's saying, oh, that's no problem. He's, after the first attempt, right, this is the way he's going with it. And I've got to say, the captain comes on the tannoy and he says, ladies and gentlemen, we've failed in our first attempt to land at London Heathrow. We will shortly be making a second attempt. Oh, my faith was just... Yeah, right. And I've never forgotten this. As I tell the story now, it's laughable. But when you're in it, friends, it was not laughable, okay? Really wasn't laughable. So, Captain Shortley's back on. Yes, we've got another slot. You know what it's like at Heathrow. If you miss your slot, you could be up there for 40 minutes before they let you come in again. Anyway, we've got another slot. We're coming in for our second attempt. See how we get on. Right, fine. That isn't exactly what he said. But anyway, we start to come in for the next. I looked out the window and I could see the runway as we were coming in. I thought, marvellous, we're going to land. Brilliant. All of a sudden, the plane rips up into the air. And by this time, I'm starting to get nervous. Now, Phil Collins, who I thought I heard speaking in tongues, is now off on one. He's shundai pundai all over the place in the plane. This woman is looking at him, bearing in mind she's nervous of flying. She's thinking, what is this guy doing? And she's becoming more and more agitated. And he's speaking in tongues at the top of his voice, crying out to God, thinking that we're going to crash, whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, on our second attempt, we overshot the runway. That is true. Honestly, he said we overshot the runway. Or obviously because of the visibility issues. And unbelievable. Well, by this time, all of us on the team, who had been cascading Phil for really speaking out loud in tongues on an aeroplane with members of the public around, all the rest of it, I got to be honest with you, friends, I felt like speaking in tongues. I really did. I was starting to get very, very nervous. And this captain comes back on, he says, ladies and gentlemen, we're making our final attempt. Those were his words, I'm telling you. He said, we're making our final attempt to land at London Heathrow. Well, I've got to be honest, friends, as we came in, I was speaking in tongues. And the whole of the team were praying, speaking in tongues. Phil Collins is off at the top of his voice. Mr. Cool has lost it big time. He's lost all his credibility, I tell you. And this woman is hysterical, virtually, trying to calm a child down, and she's in a state herself, and Phil's off, oh God, screaming at the top of his voice. The plane's coming in. And yes, you think we landed? No, we didn't. Right at the last minute, once again, plane that rips off into the air. Captain comes back. I'm not going to even try and explain to you what was going on with the woman and her child, because she really was in a terrible state. Phil wasn't helping. Let's just say he wasn't helping. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, is this the end? I really was, seriously, it was that serious. Captain comes back on, that reassuring voice that we all need to hear, you know? And he says, ladies and gentlemen, as you are aware, we have failed in our final attempt to land at London Heathrow. There's a problem with visibility, but we'd all work that out. He said, and basically we're running out of fuel. So, boy, you know, talk about final nail in the coffin, you know? My word. It's just unbelievable, this. And he said, we're going to have to divert to Amsterdam Airport. Now, that is what we did. We diverted to Amsterdam, and when we landed, which we did, it was quite interesting. Now, if you have ever travelled anywhere in the South American area, whenever they land, the South Americans, they always burst into applause on the plane because it's landed safely. I tell you what, with our Western culture and all the rest of it, we burst into applause, friends, when this landed at Amsterdam, right? It got better because the captain came on and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, so I'm very sorry to have to report that I've gone over my flying hours, so there'll be a new crew." Now, how do you think that was received, friends? I tell you what, I had to stop myself jumping up and down on the plane. It was just amazing. Now, interestingly, my mum and dad were on the ground in Heathrow, and this is years ago, okay, and the flight flashed off the screen completely, and they did not know what had happened. My dad, bless him, he was still alive then, he went to the inquiry's desk. They couldn't tell him anything, and he virtually nearly killed this person, grabbed hold of them, said, "I want to know where my son is." I tell you all this because, funnily enough, it hasn't scared me into never flying. I've flown many times. I won't fly with Air Zimbabwe. Okay? I don't even know if they still exist. But I want to tell you that God is flying the plane. God is your pilot. He's my pilot. Not Air Zimbabwe. So when we talk about fear, a fear of the unknown, a fear of this, a fear of that, isn't it reassuring to know that God is in control, that He is flying the plane, and wherever He wants you and I to go, whatever new experiences that were bound for us, whatever things are coming, God is at the helm, friends. Boy, is that reassuring. Some of us are faced with all sorts of issues, and I said it earlier about circumstances. Sometimes you have to adjust to circumstances, but it doesn't affect your value to God. It doesn't affect your value to God. Eileen, I want to say to you this morning, you bless me every time I see you in this place. Your value is not because you can get up and walk and do everything else. Your value is in who you are. God loves you as you are. Is that right?
Yes.
Absolutely right. My value is not in what I can do at different times and what I can't do. My value is in who I am in God. David has had to make some readjustments at the moment. He's not ministering as he would like. But his value does not come from the ministry, which he knows, and I know he knows. But God says you're valuable as you are. There are other people in here who've got all sorts of circumstances going on. We are still of the same value to God. People have got health issues going on. I'm faced with that every day in my job. Health can pull you down, friends. Can have a wearing down effect. But we need to get God's perspective. We need to realize it's Him flying the plane. We need to realize He's in control. And He wants to take us on to the next stage. Wants us to fly in Him. Let's stand together this morning.